be wise about it. And we need to be thoughtful about the things that we do. The good news is we've never had as much experience as we have today in this topic. We've never been in this situation like this before, but we also have never had as much information about this kind of situation as we have now. We've got more public policy, more public health stuff available than we've ever had before. And, you know, we don't need to panic. Yes, this is very serious. Yes, we should be concerned and we should absolutely listen to the medical experts and we should follow the guidance that we're getting from our leaders because we don't know and we presume that they do. And that's reasonable. Now, I know there's been, you know, all these memes on social media about toilet paper and about, you know, the stores and the rushes on the stores, but don't worry about food and toilet paper. We will get through this. Even in Italy right now, where things are terribly bad, I saw a post about that today from an American who's living in Italy, and the stores are open. You know, people are able to get the things that they need, and we have a great food supply. We have a great supply chain. Shout out to our farmers. Shout out to our truckers who are moving materials. You know, the people who are actually on the front lines and our medical professionals. Oh, thank God for them. Being out there and doing that work and being a part of that. And, you know, it's a good thing. And I think, you know, here's one thing that I know for sure. When people get scared, they do dumb things. And right now, there are a lot of people, a lot of us are kind of scared. And then we're going to make poor choices because we're worried about those things. And that's just not smart. I mean, you know, we look at the, I was astonished the other night. I was at Sam's Club. You know, I've got 11 people live in my house, and we go to the store. I go to Sam's Club. We buy 7 gallons of milk every week. We buy the big packages of toilet paper, the big packages of everything at the Cooper household because we need them. And I was stunned to see that the area that usually holds pallets of toilet paper was completely wiped out, totally wiped out. I was at the store last night, and the bread aisle was decimated. I mean, there's just nothing in the bread area. And the thing is, those problems, they will get solved. They will. That's going to happen. I saw this comment that said, you know how the bread aisle and toilet paper aisle are empty and we're all scared about that kind of thing? Well, this is why we're doing the social distancing. This is why we're doing isolation, because if everybody rushed to the hospital because they needed advanced medical care, there wouldn't be any room for them. And that's one of the things that's happening in Italy. So that's why our leaders are asking us to slow down and to distance ourselves, because we want to slow down the pace at which the thing takes off. We want to slow that down so that we're not in nearly as much of a quick ascent of the problem that we have. And I think that's the thing we've got to, our leaders are trying to help us figure out, our leaders are trying to help us do is blunt the effect of it, you know, to slow it down. And so that's something we want to do. We don't want to have our hospitals being totally overwhelmed. I think it's reasonable for us to kind of slow down. But, you know, it can be worrisome. I mean, I went to the store last night and I overheard people talking, and this one lady said, oh, you should go to the Hispanic stores because the gringos panic way more than we do. That made me laugh. But I think, you know, I heard Walmart's closing and the CDC is recommending shutting down for weeks. That's just not, I also heard somebody say the government's lying. And I have no doubt that there are some messages from some people in government that are absolutely not true. I'm certain that that is the case. And I don't know which party it is. I'm certain it's both, actually. So what can we do? What can we do about this? I think we can slow down. We don't need to panic. We can relax a little bit. This is not going to stop immediately. And it didn't start immediately. Although our awareness may have only happened recently, it didn't start immediately and it's not going to stop immediately. And so be patient, give it some time to kind of work through. You know, I said this before, but I really fundamentally believe we've got to listen to the medical experts. That there are people who spend their entire careers looking into this kind of thing, trying to understand this sort of thing. And we should be listening to them. They know what they're talking about. And I think when it comes to the facts, There's a lot of political spin. There's a lot of political messaging out there. But when it comes to the facts, we can trust the people who are publishing the facts to trust good facts. They're going to publish good facts. And if they don't, then we're going to be able to trust that our system is self-correcting, that people will try to replicate whatever that is. They'll try to reproduce and show whatever that is. And we'll come up with a solution or an answer that's going to show either the truth or the lack of truth that's there. I also want to encourage you to not just listen to the people in the grocery store or the that Facebook or TikTok or Twitter feed. You know, I don't know a whole lot. Neither does anybody else except for the experts. And so my opinion, while interesting, may not be relevant. It's interesting to me anyway, may not be relevant to solving the problems that we're having. But when you think you know something about the situation, you want to listen to the medical experts, but you want to hear what they have to say, not just the 20-second or 2-second or 3-second soundbite. Go see what they said in context, because it is so easy to take things out of context and make it sound like something very, very different from what it actually is. And I think it's worthy of your time to go watch the whole press conference, watch the interview, listen to what they had to say. If there's a transcript, read the transcript, for heaven's sakes. That's where you're gonna see in context what people are saying. And when you hear something from somebody, take the time to verify it. Take the time to verify what they have to say. This morning, I saw somebody posted on Facebook that the CDC is recommending schools be closed for 8 weeks. And the fact is, the vast majority of people will never click on the link. And they actually had linked, and I'll give them credit for this, they had actually linked to the original CDC document. So fantastic. Often they don't. And I have to go Google the CDC document to find it, or Google the whatever the source was proposed, the supposed source was. In this situation, they had published the link to the CDC document. So I went and read the CDC document. And you know what I found out? I found out that they said closing schools for a day or 2 weeks is not proven effective for reducing the spread of the virus in a significant way. They said potentially closing schools for 8 weeks to 20 weeks would be effective. However, they pointed to Hong Kong, which had closed its schools, and Singapore, which had not closed its schools. And they said the evidence is unconvincing about whether it would be effective to close the schools or not, that both had a similar spread, and it didn't seem to be slower with closed schools than it was with open schools. That said, if they close schools for 8 to 20 weeks, there might be some benefit. However, isolation and hand washing were far more effective. And this is an example of going and looking at the data. Don't just believe whatever you hear. This is true often on social media. It's true often in news reporting. I think it's very important for us to work to validate the things that we're learning, because we don't know. And I think that's something that is so easy to kind of get off kilter with. Also, there are going to be a lot of mistakes made. There are going to be a lot of mistakes made over the next several weeks. There are going to be things that we'll try that will fail. There are going to be things the government's going to recommend, and they're going to turn their back on that recommendation as more data becomes available. When mistakes are made, and they will be made, assume that it is a result of error and not bad intent. Assume that they just screwed up. Assume they just screwed up, because it's not likely that people are serious. There's not this major conspiracy out there. It's not likely that people are going to be doing that. And scrutinize your media. Don't listen to me. Don't listen to anyone. Everybody's got an agenda. I've got an agenda. Why am I making the time to do this today? I want you to be practical. I want you to be wise. And I want you to be optimistic about outcomes. It's so easy to get scared and get pessimistic and then start getting into an echo chamber where we just listen to things that reinforce what we already believe we know. That's not helpful for us in a situation like this. This is an emerging situation. Things are changing rapidly. I'm surprised at how rapidly we saw the sports shut down, and we saw we had a Boy Scout camping trip scheduled for this weekend got canceled because BSA said shut down. The state now has said they're going to close schools for a couple of weeks, and all the schools in the entire state here are shut down for a couple of weeks. So things are changing very quickly, and what we are learning is going to change over time. We're going to learn more, and we're going to change the way that we react based on the things that we're learning. You know, we don't know a lot about this particular virus. We don't know a lot about the recovery from this particular virus. And I think that's important for us to consider. And that's a challenge, because the best amount, the most information we have right now is from China. And the fact is that China was not honest about what was happening or where it was happening or how it was working. And we don't know that the death rate from this particular thing looks substantially higher than flu. And flu is particularly hard on certain populations. And so we do know, I think it's very clear, that if you are older and or if you have other health problems, that this particular illness is very, very bad for you and may require advanced medical care. But we don't know exactly what the recovery rate is, and we don't know what the recovery time is, because we just don't have enough data. And the other thing I want to take a moment to talk about is the facts, what's actually happening in the world, are going to be different from what we think we know today. For example, we know that people have been sick. For months, people have been sick. And we don't know exactly how many have gotten sick. We don't know, because our tests weren't accurate. And so people who were sick maybe thought they had a bad case of the flu. Maybe they thought they had something else. Some people who died, I'm sure, died from COVID-19, but we don't know. We may never know about that. And so what does it mean? It means that the number of confirmed cases is different from the actual number of cases. In fact, the number of confirmed cases is most assuredly going to be substantially lower than the actual number of cases that are going on. Now, our private industry has been amazing in ramping up the capability. Thankfully, the FDA has reduced regulation and opened up the floodgates to allow more tests to go out there. What that means is that some of those tests are going to be less accurate than they could be. And probably going to be some false positives and false negatives, and that's a problem. Not that that's not a problem other times as well, but it also means that we are going to have more valid information that's going to give us more knowledge about what's happening. And I think that's important for us to consider. So when that happens, it seems very reasonable to me that we are going to see the number of confirmed cases go up dramatically. And it will go up for two reasons. One is exactly what the medical experts are concerned about, the spread of the disease. It's going to continue to spread at some level, and that's going to cause more people to get sick. There'll be more cases, for sure. In addition, as our testing system, it gets better and better, and the data is more collected more effectively and reported more effectively, we're going to actually start to see our test results matching what is actually happening in the real world. And I think that's important for us to consider as well, that we're going to see people are going to get sick, and our ability to count people who are sick is going to get better. And so it's very reasonable to expect that even in spite of these changes that are being made to help us be more isolated and be more careful about our hygiene, that we are going to see the number of cases go up. And that's not something we need to panic about. It's going to take some time for the decisions that were made over the last few days to play out. It's going to take a few weeks for us to get clarity about that. So we're gathering more data, and in a few weeks, we're going to have better information and much more accurate data about the survival rate, the recovery time, the different impacts on different age groups, all those kinds of things that we just don't know very much about. Now, I want to talk for a couple of minutes about what my family's doing. And again, I'm not a microbiologist. I'm not a virologist. I'm not an immunologist. I'm not the medical guy, but we want to be practical. You know, my mother-in-law lives with us, and she's in the population of folks that are more at risk if they get this disease. And so we want to be careful for her. None of us wants to get sick, and certainly not with a very, very difficult illness like this particular one seems to be. So we're trying to be cautious about that. You know, one thing we're doing is we're praying for wisdom. We want to make good decisions, and we believe that God can help us make better decisions. And so we're going to continue to pray for wisdom about that. We're not panicking. We're washing our hands a lot. We're encouraging our kids to wash their hands a lot. My wife's out on a supply run, and she started to say, hey, you know, why don't I bring some people with me? No, we're not doing that. We're going out as little as possible with as few people as possible. We're staying home a lot. I want to wrap up here, but I want to say, you know, we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this. And it's going to be a different thing. It's going to be a difficult thing maybe, but we're going to get through this. And so I would encourage you to treasure your time with your family. Look for opportunities to make some good memories with your family during this season. Don't believe everything you hear. You know, Walmart is not shutting down. Now, they might be adjusting their hours so they're not open 24 hours to give their associates time to get in there and clean the store so that it disinfect or whatever. But don't believe just everything that you hear immediately. Don't let your fears get the best of you. Be wise, be practical, be careful. When you hear things, verify them. Don't just believe whatever news outlet you typically watch, because everybody has an agenda. Look, I think this is a brave new world for us. We've never been in this situation before, and things are changing very rapidly. But panic is not going to help us. And I think being able to be pragmatic and be thoughtful and careful and prepare for the things that are going on, and then enjoy your life. Find a way to spend time and make memories with the people that mean the most to you, your closest family members, because we're going to need to be more isolated for a season. And then things will get back to normal. There will be a time we will look back on this and say, wow, that was a big shift for us. But it's going to be okay. We'll get through this, and just pay attention to the people who do know what they're talking about when it comes to the medicine. And that's what I had to share. It's what I've been thinking about. I wanted to put out there for folks today. I hope you found this valuable, and look forward to hearing your response. What are you doing about this? How are you verifying the information? There's a great visualization from ArcGIS that uses Johns Hopkins data that kind of shows confirmed cases and what's going on. I like that particular one. I'll post a link to that in the Facebook Live as well. And if you've got great data sources or great information or things that are comforting to you, put those in the comments below too. I'd appreciate that. I look forward to speaking with you again sometime.